Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
We brought your Bible with you today. I hope that you did, because in it is the answer to everything and every situation, circumstance, or problem that you ever have or ever will face. It's right there. So let's make our confession of God's Word today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, shout hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Open the Bible with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. And I just started on this topic about a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. I think AJ sort of been in the between me and him. And so we're talking today about the power of words. The power of words. Look with me to our text on Luke, chapter 6, and verse 45. Let me get zeroed in here. Luke 6 and verse 45 is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Get there and read it. You've got your Bible. Open your Bible and follow me this morning and check me up and check up and that kind of thing. Because, in looking at the body of Christ and serving the body of Christ, as number of years I have, there's one thing I've noticed, really, is a lot of folks have misconceptions about how you live for God, how you worship God, and how you receive things from God and how God does things in their life. Sometimes I don't know if the word Santa Claus is appropriate or not. It certainly isn't. But some people look at God like that, maybe he just might do something and he just might not. We just don't know. We just never know what God is going to do or those kind of things they would think. Or God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. There are some mysterious ways of God that he works in. But there's a lot of ways that are not mysterious at all. He reveals very clearly how he works and the kind of relationship he wants us to have with him. And so I'm talking to you on that level this morning about that God kind of relationship. Look in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. Notice, three goods. Good man, good treasure in the heart, brings forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Evil man, evil treasure, brings forth evil. Two different sides of this principle of the way this thing works. You're going to bring forth whatever you have planted in your heart. It is undeniable. It's already happening for you right now. You are already working in this principle. I mean, it is already operating in your life right now. It's not saying, I might try that. No, you're doing it. We're not trying it. We're doing it right now, and it's working this way in our lives. We're either bringing forth good or we are bringing forth evil. Now, notice the key. The key here, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart, in King James Version, his mouth speaketh. His mouth is speaking what he fills his heart with. Now think about it. You get saved and you come to the Lord. At the first time that you make a commitment to Christ and you tell the Lord that you receive him as Lord and Savior, he comes into your life. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood washes you clean and makes you whole, and you're free from your sins. But you know what? All you know is what you've known up to that point. And you probably keep talking like you've been talking up to that point. You probably keep, in a lot of ways, living like you've been living. There's a now inner witness on the inside that says, when you do something wrong, no, let's don't do that. Let's back off. Let's go a different direction. You're going to live. And you've got that inner conscience that the Lord given you. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit that's leading you and guiding you. But still, you've got this mind. You've got this tongue that's still been thinking and talking just like it always talked. And you have to be very careful and be diligent to change both of those, your thinking and your tongue. Because the principle is this: a good man, which you become when you become born again, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. What's in your heart now? Well, you say the Lord Jesus is there. Well, of course he is. But how much of the word have you put in there when you got saved? Well, I just now got started. I don't know. I guess I better start. And then you pick and cherry pick things of the world. Well, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. And you plant that in your heart. Or you'll find something out there in the world, you know, well, God just does things whenever he wants to do them. And you plant that in your heart. All right, you'll just hear all kind of phrases and things that the world has out there. You know, sometimes are good and sometimes are bad. And you'll plant that in your heart. And so you keep operating based on those old principles that you planted in your heart. You keep getting almost what you've been getting. The only difference is, you know, if the Lord came and called you home, you'd make it home. But your ride between here and heaven on planet Earth is not a very good one, because you're still operating just like the world taught you how to operate. And so you've got to do some things. You've got to make some changes in your life. You've got to, you know, start planting something in your mouth and in your heart where you'll have an abundance of it. And if your heart is just overflowing, I don't know, someone asked me the other day, and I've heard of it. Of course, I live on planet Earth, but they asked you to watch the show Survivor. I said, well, I've seen a few clips of it, whatever, I don't know. And they were all in it. They knew all the people on that show. They knew what they were doing, who's on the island, who's not on the island, that kind of thing. They knew all about that kind of stuff. I didn't know, but that was what was in their heart. That was abundance of their heart. And what you need to do is have the Word of Almighty God, your relationship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to have the Word of God abundantly in your heart, so that's what flows out. And somebody asks you what you've been doing, where you're at, how's your life going, you begin to speak the Word of God right out of your heart. Because a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. But if you keep speaking that evil thing into your life, you're going to keep bringing forth evil things in your life. For the abundance of the heart is mouth. That was our text. We looked at that. Well, we saw real quickly. I won't go into all these detail, of course. But Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12:36. For those people who say, it doesn't matter what I say, God's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And they'll make these statements. Well, God is a sovereign God, and you're not going to change God. You're right. God is a sovereign God. I'm not going to change God. You're right. But God's sovereignty is this. This is God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is that a good man brings forth good things of the abundance of his heart, and an evil man brings forth evil things out of the abundance of his heart. That is God's sovereignty. We have a revelation of how his sovereignty works, that one little principle. There are others, but at least that is one. And in Matthew 12:36, Scripture tells us, Jesus said, every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account of in the day of judgment. And so your words are vitally important, because you're going to be judged on those words. He said, by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. So it's not just, hey, I got saved, my heart's right, but I don't give a rip what my mouth says anymore. It's not that. No. Yeah, your mouth, you're going to be judged by words. Why? Why? He said, that might be unfair. No, it's not. Because your words simply reveal what's in your heart. Because you're the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all your words are doing is revealing what is in your heart in the first place. So it's perfectly just and righteous for God to judge us on our words, because that's only a revelation of what's in our heart in the first place. And Jesus said that. In Psalms 89, verse 34, God is so serious about this. He said, my covenant, now what I promised, you know, I won't break. He says, I won't even alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. I won't change the thing that's gone out of my lips. So you might say, well, listen, you know what? I'm in a bad spot. Things aren't going good for me. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm suffering in my life. Things are happening around me and all in my world. I don't like these things, and they're hurting me. Doesn't God care? Yes, God cares. But he won't alter the things that goes out of his lips. He will not change his covenant. And if he said that a good man will bring forth good things out of the abundance of his heart, and an evil man bring out evil things out of the abundance of his heart, that's just the way that it happens. And if you want to keep on talking evil ways, we used to sing a song many years ago, play it in many places, all over this place we played it. But it's called Evil Ways. And you've got to change your evil ways. You got to change. Somebody say, you got to change. That's what Santana taught us. But anyway, we'll go back to the Bible now. So you got to change your evil ways. You can't continue that way because you're going to keep bringing forth those kind of things in your life. And that is the sovereignty of God. God will not lie. He will not, God is not a man that he should lie. Both Old Testament and New Testament references we could give. But he's not a man that he should lie. And what he has said, that right here that we just read in Luke 6:45, that's the way it works. God's sovereignty. If you don't believe in God's sovereignty, it still works that way. You believe in it, it still works that way. It is, and I happen to believe in it. And so that is God's sovereign word. Now then, turn with me in Job chapter 6. Let me show you. Remember Job in the Old Covenant? People talk about, oh, poor old Job and how rough he had it. And they'll have their life going that way. I guess I'm just another Job. What should you say if somebody says, I guess I'm just another Job? One word you and I could say would be this: hallelujah! Why? What happened to Job in the end? He got double everything he ever did have in his life. All things. Well, I didn't want to hear that. I'm just here tribulating. I'm in the valley. Down in the valley so low. Bend your head over, you'll see where I go. You know, that kind of stuff. And we want to make a lifestyle of tribulating and persecution. Are there tribulations and persecution in this world? Yes, there are. Jesus says, in this world, the godly, the righteous, will suffer persecution, you'll suffer tribulation. There's some things, and sometimes, depending on where you're at around our world, like Grandmaster Kim has witnessed, wherever you're at around our world, just for nothing other than naming the name of Christ, you may be persecuted. You may be. I mean, right now in America, we're persecuted mostly for our words and what we do, where we go, and what we think. Now they're getting with AI, they're going to persecute us for what we think, and they're going to persecute us for everything else. They're going to try to go to a digital currency where they can cut you off, where you can't spend anything unless they tell you can spend it. If they don't like what you're spending it on. This world is quickly, rapidly in America, changing to a world of controlling individuals. And the problem is the people doing the controlling aren't godly people. That's the problem. So anyway, that's another subject. But recognize Job. Job was a man who was perfect and upright in God's eyes. And God's even pointed him out to the devil. If you consider my servant Job, ain't nobody like him on planet Earth. He's a great guy. He's a good guy. He is righteous. He lives right. And he talked about him. Well, the persecution comes into Job's life, and we have a great example. Remember, Job didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the Word of God. It's the oldest book in the Bible. And we don't have any record of any of that. He just had this relationship with God. That's it. You and I got a Bible today, and we can read the revealed Word of God. And ask Job, he's asking all those questions, complaining sometimes and doing a very poor job of it. Blames God. Says, you even come to me in my dreams and try to scare me to death. That's what he told God. I mean, not just enough in my real life, but you trying to get into my dreams. And all these kind of things Job would say. Well, Job learned a few things. Notice this, Job 6, verse 24. Job said, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Now, notice, in the whole book of Job, from Job chapter 1 to Job chapter 42, he never says this, Lord, teach me, and I'll quit running around on my wife. He didn't say that. Lord, teach me, and I'll quit stealing from people. He didn't say that. Lord, teach me, and I'll quit killing other people. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, teach me. I know there's something wrong with my mouth. There's something wrong with my mouth. Something's wrong with my tongue. Now, he didn't get it quite right there. He'll continue on for a little bit, but he does. In Job 6 and verse 24, teach me, I'll hold my tongue. Cause me to understand where I've erred. Show me what I've said wrong. What my tongue has did wrong. Show me. And then he says there, how forcible are right words. Everybody say, how forcible are right words? In other words will do something. I mean, there's people get all mad all over planet Earth. Oh, you're calling words a force, or the force of faith, or the force of, they get all bent out of shape. But right words are forcible. They are. And he said, but what does arguing prove? In other words, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with arguing with these three friends I got here, or even with you. But right words are forcible. Now, go all the way to the back of the book, Job chapter 40, and look at verse 4. In Job chapter 40, verse 4, now you're going way into history here. I don't know how many months or maybe a year or so that you're going out. You're going out a little while. And so in Job chapter 40, Job says this. Verse 3, Job 40, verse 3. He says, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand on my mouth. Job's learned he better just shut up. Job's learned so far he better put his hand over his mouth. And notice I've been wrong. Notice verse 5, once I've spoken, but I'll not answer this time. Yea, twice, but I'll proceed no further. In other words, God, I've argued with you now for these last 40 chapters. Day after day, month after month, maybe a year or so more, I've argued with you time and time again. Not anymore. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. My arguing is over. That would do us all a lot of good if we'd quit arguing with God. Amen. Pray, talk to him. If you don't understand, tell him you don't understand. That's okay. But don't argue with him once you get his word. And once God speaks to your heart and your life, don't fuss with God. You're going to lose that battle. You're not going to win that battle. And so Job finally figures it out and says, well, I'm going to quit arguing with God. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. And if you can't stop the things coming out of your mouth any other way, go ahead, put your hand over your mouth. Not a bad thing. Just cover it up. Remember those three monkeys? What are they? See no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Don't do anything. I mean, you got to watch for those monkeys. I heard the other day at the zoo that they're dividing up chores in Greenville Zoo up there between all of the animals. And you different chores, cleaning around the zoo and all that. And tonight, you know, the lion sweeps tonight. But anyway, look at Job 42. Job, some of you get it later on. Go roll it back. What do you say? Job 42, verse 3. Job 42, verse 3. Go to the last chapter of the book of Job. 42, verse 3. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful me, which I knew not. In other words, I've been talking the wrong stuff. I've been saying the wrong thing. I've been running my mouth where I should not have been running my mouth. And he admits that to God. He tells God that. And finally, go on verse 10. We don't have time to read the whole book. But look at verse 10 of the last chapter. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The captivity gets turned on Job in the last few chapters of this book, and indeed the last one, verse 42, when he said, I've been saying stuff I knew nothing about, and now I've stopped. I put my hand over my mouth. And some of us, you're never going to walk into the blessings of God that God has for you until, one, you put your hand over your mouth, and then, two, you start filling your heart with abundant words from the Word of God and speaking those into your life. Then you'll see yourself begin to go into things that God wants for you and has for you. And every promise, every chapter, everything in the book is mine. And it will be yours if you'll do like God tells you to do in order that you receive it. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love one person any more than he loves another. He'll do for one what he will do for any person. It's just the nature of who God is. Now, so anyway, we talked about that in Job. We also talked about this, that God uses words. We look in the book of Genesis, and we saw six times in chapter 1 where God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and all these things came into being, a restoration of those things, a creation of those things. They all came into being, a making of our world that God did. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 1, and he did that by saying, God said. God could have, I guess, had an electric, we might call it a lightning bolt of energy, and bam! You know, blew up this or blew up that, but he didn't. He did it by his word. He did it by his spoken word. God created by his word. The words of the mouth of God, he created. In fact, we can look at Hebrews 11, verse 3. We see through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Not the Bible that you and I have that we call the Word of God, and it is, but then we didn't have the Word of God when God creates everything. It's his own word. It's a spoken word of God. God speaks things into existence. Light being the light comes on. I mean, God allows the earth itself, the judgment that had been placed on it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is released, and he begins to bring restoration and beauty and wonder and creation and all kinds of things to this world. And it does it by the spoken word of Almighty God. That's how he does things. We saw that. We saw in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Christ, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything is withheld by the word of his power. In other words, God is power, but he has a word that comes forth from him. And he withholds everything that way. The Bible tells about us, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. There is a power in us, and we can cause that power to work within us as from the abundance of our heart, our mouth begins to speak. And so when we face circumstances, situations of life, different things, you know, people say things, you know, how are things going? Things are going great. Things are going great. Wait a minute, how can you say things are going great? There's this problem, that problem. There is. I don't doubt and don't deny that there are those problems. But where I live and in the world I live in, things are going great. Somebody say amen. 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 Things are going great. It's not a problem. It is not a circumstance or a situation. Sheila and I were somewhere the other day, and we went in, and this particular, it may have been, went to get a dental appointment or something, maybe that was cleaning your teeth, something. And anyway, go in, and the receptionist says, have you had this done? You had that done? I said, no. I said, have you had, asked if you had had COVID? I said, no, we never had COVID. I said, that stuff's over with. Why are y'all still talking about it? And she said, it's over. I didn't know. And I said, when it was over with? I said, the day after it began. That's when the COVID stuff ended in my world. It may not end that way in this natural world, but it ended. As soon as I heard about it, it was over. Somebody say amen. And that's what we said. So I said, you never got it? No. And I said, did you get a vaccine or what's known as the clot shot? So did you get that? I said, no. We didn't get that either. If you want to get that, that's fine. Between you, your God, your Lord, your doctor, your health, that's fine. But for us, we never did and never got it. Ain't going to get it. I mean, didn't. I'm talking about COVID. Just, you know, just not an issue. It's just not a problem. Why? Because I have an abundance in my heart that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals me. And that is more in me, stronger than everything else they tried to plant through the television and the radio and the internet and every other form and fashion they could try to put fear in our lives. And the fear never took, and it didn't take, because the abundance of what was in our life is our God is greater than anything else that can come against us. Somebody say amen. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. But now if you don't have the abundance in your heart like that, you won't act that way. You won't act that way. And so you've got to get to the place that, notice, Ephesians 3:20, now in him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's working through us. The power is in there. Now let it work by giving voice to it. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speak those things that God says he is. Speak those things that God says you are. Speak those things that God says he's done for you, and speak those things that he says you can do. And if you'll keep speaking those four things into your life, you'll begin to see a different world in your life than what the rest of the world is experiencing. And right now, more than anything else, it is just so amazing, the world we live in. They're so nuts. They've lost their mind. They're crazy. I mean, it's unreal what these people are doing out here. And it's just, you know, just wild things are happening. Wild stuff is going on in our world. And so you better anchor yourself in the word of God, because in the day that we live in, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, I believe that it is, it tells us that in the last days we're in, strong delusion will come on you. Strong delusion. Not just a little bit of a lie, but strong delusion. What that means is you'll hear a lie of deception, and it will be so strong it feels like it's you. You feel like you understand it. You feel like it's reasonable. You feel like it's logical. It's not like the devil out here just hollering and screaming at you and say, well, I'll believe that. No, he enters into our world of our mind and our thinking, our rationale, our logic, our reason, and it becomes almost like it's real. And it's not. And there's a lot of things like that that's going on in our world here today. I mean, when you think about it, when you get to the point, this is just unreal. They passed a law that last week in California that parents don't have to be consulted when their child of 3 years old and older determines that they are a trans. Is that can a 3-year-old child determine that they are a transvestite? Can they determine? Do they have the right and not tell the parents? This is the world we're in. This is the, so you better get anchored in the Word of God. You better get there because they're coming for you. They're coming for you. You know, I didn't come to church to hear this. Well, that's fine. They're still coming for you. They're coming for all of us. They are. They're coming for us. They're on their way. Don't give in. Don't let them take you over. Don't let them destroy your mind, your heart, your thinking, the abundance of the Word of God that you're filling your heart with. All right. Anyway, that's how that we see that God works. He works just that same way. We looked at Jesus. We saw that he works also by his words. They said so much about him that his word was with power. When he spoke, his words were in power. You can check it. There are a few times that Jesus, I think there's like 35 miracles in the four Gospels recorded, more, of course, that he did, but there's 35 recorded. And of those, there's only, like, I think, a couple, three, that he did with words and something else. For example, he told the blind man, go wash, you know. And one guy, you know, he makes a spittle up in clay, put it on his eyes, right? So it says, go wash in the pool. Well, that's extra little things. It is. But most all of the other times of the 35, every single other time, he says something, and that's all he does. All he does is speaks a word. He was so known for that, that when the centurion came to him, he said, listen, my servant's at home lying sick. You know what? You don't need to come to my house. I'm not asking you to come. That's not needed. You don't have to come. Just speak the word only. Only. Speak the word only. Jesus hears that. I haven't heard that kind of great faith, not even in the household of faith of Israel. Speak the word only. And that's where you and I need to be living our lives. Recognize that Jesus used his words to accomplish things, to get things done. He cast out spirits, the Bible says, with his word. He didn't go and beat them to death. Several years ago, there was this lawsuit, I guess it was, in America, rightly so, probably, where parents had literally beat a little child to death with sticks trying to get the devil out of that child. We don't do that. That's not what you do. You don't beat the devil out of somebody literally with a stick or a broom, whatever, those kind of things. I've been hit with a broom a time or two. Have you ever been hit? Whatever. When I was a little boy, whatever. But no. You don't beat the devil out. You don't injure somebody, hurt them like that. It was with the power of his word. He got them out with the power of his word. You know how you can get the devil out of your life? Power of your words. Same thing. Same thing. Power of your words. Same thing. And so we saw that. We looked at that just a little bit. We saw that Jesus talks to fig trees and kills them. He speaks to them. He tells them to die, and they die because he has power in his word. And he spoke the word, the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke, and he cursed that tree, and it died. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just the way that he works and the way that the Lord does. We also saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, just checked on this, in Acts chapter 2, we saw that Peter preached the gospel, and he preached the word, and with his voice, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, as he preached, he spoke the things unto them, as it said, verse 16 of chapter 2. And they heard these words that he spoke, and 3,000 people get saved in one day. Not based on, oh, Lord, help me, don't get mad at me. But he did not put a living room suit on stage up here and did a little skit. Ain't nothing wrong with doing a little skit if you want to do a little skit. Yeah, you won't go to hell for doing skits, I don't think. It wasn't because that you rode a motorcycle onto the stage. And everybody got excited, and you talked about living the Harley life, you know, whatever it might be. Nothing wrong with motorcycles. It wasn't all these extra things that we try to do, and we add to our service, and we turn the light shows on, and we got the things going, and the smoke is running in the service. No, you know, fine, if you want to do that, I'm all for it. Don't matter to me if you want to do something like that. But, you know, that's not what gets the job done. You can do all those things you want to, but it's not what gets the job done. The word that he spoke, the word that he preached, that's all Peter had that day. He didn't get up there and say, look, what's just happened here on the day of Pentecost, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And the next verse it said, and Peter pulled out a water pot. And Peter took water and filled the water pot to the top and explained to them how that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit earlier, but now they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And see all that water running out? Y'all see this? Kindergarten class, y'all see this? And all the water is running out. He didn't do that.
The Word of God was anointing him. The Spirit of God was in his life that was on that Word, and it caused conviction. It caused change in the hearts and lives of men. The Word of God is enough. Somebody say amen. I mean, it's amazing. You can look up some of this stuff and look at the adult services now. There is a montage of this that you can see on YouTube, about 30 minutes, showing various pastors all across America talking to their adult class, and you would just know they've got to be talking to the kindergarten class because they've got so many props and illustrations and things and this and that and stuff that they're showing and everything, and I didn't hear a scripture verse anywhere. But I come across, after that got done, I sure did feel sorry for that dog that just died. I mean, I'll tell you what, I did, but that's what they do. But, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. Like I say, you don't go to hell because of that. But, you know, do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. But the Word of God is where the power is. And if you want to have somebody really operate in the principles and powers of God, it's going to be when they rely on the Word of God. All right, now let's go to something new. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They go to the same temple they've been going to regularly, and now they go there, like they always have, and they go past someone they've been passing for a while. Verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and they enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and Peter fast his eyes on him and John and said. Everybody say, said. They say something. Look on us. Now we know what they said. Look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. He's still not quite into this word thing. He thinks they're going to give him some money. But now he said, and he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name. What's the name? Jesus. That's a word, isn't it? That's a word. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now notice, he doesn't pray. He tells him what to do. A lot of Christians sometimes, we're still praying when we ought to just be saying. We're still asking, and God forbid, sometimes people are begging when they ought to just be speaking and saying what the Word says. There's a lot of things in Scripture, a lot of things in Scripture that I've learned over the years. This, I don't know the last time that I prayed and asked God for healing. I do know the last times that something would come upon my body or come against me, and I would go to the Word and say, God, here's what you did 2,000 years ago at the cross. I receive it in Jesus' name. But I didn't ask for it. I already had it. All I had to do was receive it. Why should I ask for something I already got? I just receive what God's already made available for us. Same way with salvation. You don't do anything to get salvation. You just receive what Christ Jesus has done for you on the cross. The blood of his Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we receive that, we ask for, you know, our cleansing, forgiveness, and our prayers, I guess, is the way we do it. But still, he doesn't come down and do it again for us. It's already done 2,000 years ago, and we just receive what he's done. Everybody say, I receive. I receive. Well, notice. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Then he takes him by the hand, right hand, lifts him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, walked, entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And so he's extremely happy that he's got his healing. People look around. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what is happening. And they begin to think, you know, Peter and John must be some type wonderful type gods on earth. But what does the Bible say, verse 16? He tells them it was his name through faith in his name. It was that word Jesus that I spoke, which is the name of Jesus. It's that name through faith in that name, which made this man strong. You want to find out what did it? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. It was that name and having faith in that name. Now, herein lies the problem some Christians have. They don't have faith in what they say. He did. He said, I've got something, and I'm going to give it to you. It ain't silver, it ain't gold, but I've got something, and I'll give you this in Jesus' name. And he gave it to them. He gave this man power to be healed in the name of Jesus. Not just the name of Jesus, but faith in the name of Jesus. And so when you get to that place, because there's many people, you be honest about it. There's many people that pray this and pray that and say this and say that, and they don't receive. Sometimes they're saying things or praying things just because they're going to have what Jesus called vain repetitions. They just go over it and over it and over it and over it, over it and 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 over it again. They just got vain repetitions. They don't even believe what they're saying themselves. And it's not going to accomplish anything in your life until you have faith in what you say. And so when you speak the word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and you fill your heart up with the word of God, and you begin to speak it, you begin to say it, you begin to see the reality of it, and it start bringing things to pass in your life as you believe in those things. So we've got to get to a place where we believe in our words. When we believe what the Bible says, and that's really what our words are, we're coming to that. When you fill yourself with the word of God, that those are your words, and you are speaking the word of God out of your mouth, and I believe that it will happen. Believe that it'll happen more than anything else. I believe more in the power of God's word for healing for our bodies than I do anything else. And they can line up with everything else that they want to try to do to you. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine. If you want to do that, that's okay. But for me, no, this right here works better than anything else I've ever tried. It works better. And so the word of God is stronger. It is more powerful. It will do for you more than anything else will do. And so Peter believes that. And he says it's his name through faith in his name. Now then, let's take a little more of an excursion. Go back to John chapter 14. Look with me, John chapter 14, and I'll show you this, how it comes together. In John 14, and let's make the connections here, because some people want to take things and just run off all haywire and stuff. But look at John chapter 14. In John 14, in verse 13 and 14, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those words are written in red. If you notice, it starts, this was all said in the book of John, chapter 14 and 15 and 16. All this was said, and verse 17, all this was said from the time of the upper room, the Last Supper, to the time he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and is taken by the Roman guard to be crucified. These three chapters, you're reading what he told those boys that night. That's what you're reading. And all this is connected, and he is talking unto them. Now then, some people look at that and they say, well, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Recognize that that is one sentence I plucked out of all of the Bible and all of this teaching and all of this passage. It's just one sentence there, okay? So when you see that, don't look at that and say, if you love me, you know, when he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay. All right, let's start out. All the things I want. I don't want $10 billion. I want to be president of the United States, the head of the United Nations. And you just start listing all a bunch of stuff. Now, God didn't say all those things that you could have in your life. What you got to do is find a promise in the Word of God that promises you something. Fill your heart and your life with it. Meet the qualifications of the promise. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, that Jesus calls his disciples together and he gave them power against or over unclean spirits and power to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, Matthew 1 and 2. Remember, he gave that to his disciples. Well, I'm going to claim that promise. Okay, but you also got to fulfill John 8 and 31, which tells us that the people that keep the word of God are his disciples indeed. If you're not keeping the word of God, you're not a disciple. If you're not a disciple, Matthew 10, 1 and 2 don't apply to you. See? It all connects very easily, very simply, very It's not hard to understand. And so when Jesus makes this promise, it is true. Not a thing in the world against is not true. But notice the very next verse, just one more verse below it, verse 15. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments, you're not loving him. And if you're not loving him, that ain't your promise. So if you think you just want to live for the devil, live your life any old kind of way you want to do, and, you know, you just believe in God that you're going to open up a gambling casino and a house of prostitution by tomorrow, and God's going to provide you the money for it, forget it. It ain't happening. Somebody say amen. That's not who the promise is made to. It's made to people that love him and people keep his commandments. That's what he says. And so you can go on with it. Look at John 14, verse 23, same chapter. He says, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. You'll have Jesus walking and talking with you. He'll be with you. The beautiful song we sing, you know, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share. I mean, you know, that relationship, you can have that between you and God, but not if you're living like the devil. No. Somebody say amen. No, not at all. Not at all. Notice what he said. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him, and we'll come together, and we'll abode with him, or we'll live with him. You want that abiding presence, the living of Christ with you, then you're going to have to walk the way God says walk. Do like he says to do. Now, the good news is he'll help you. And sometimes the bad news is sometimes you mess up. But the good news is you can repent and say you're sorry and just stay on the right track with God. How about that? Amen. Absolutely. I've been at every one of the places I probably just mentioned. Everyone. All right. Now notice, John 15, 7. He says there in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Where's those words again? If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You have to be abiding in him, living in him, and his word living in you. When you've got that combination going, you're living in him, he's living in you through his words, then you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. If not, you know, just take whatever the world decides to give you or the devil decides to feed out to you every now and then. I mean, because that's about all you're going to get. But if you want something from God and you want to see God's word fulfilled in your life, then do it the way Jesus taught us to do it. It's not hard at all. It is so easy. Finally, look at verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. Scripture tells us there, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you, ordained you that you should go forth, bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And so we ask the Father in the name of Jesus. That's why we don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to Jesus. And don't throw dirt in the air and rip your clothes and run out of the building right now. Jesus is my best friend. I live with him. I know who he is. He knows who I am too. I talk to him quite regularly. But when I make prayer and petition, I do it the way that Jesus told me to do it. And he told me to pray to my Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He told me to pray to my Father. I do that in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus is my Lord. I honor and I respect him. But I'm doing what my Lord told me to do. And I pray to the Father. And at least if you'll pray your prayer that way, that'll be at least one thing the devil can't hold over your head and say you're not doing right. Because you're doing what Jesus told you to do. And so you pray to your Father in heaven. You pray to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 16, verse 23, he says it again. In John 16, 23, in that day shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. He said, don't ask me nothing. They've been living with Jesus for 3.5 years. They've asked him for a lot of things. And really, they've been operating under his associated anointing during this whole time. And that's why he said, I'm going away, but you need another comforter because I'm gone. And when I'm gone away, you need another comforter to come and abide with you there forever, the Holy Spirit. And so go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then go back out to preaching and teaching like you've been doing. And that's what he told him to do. And he tells him here in verse 23 of John 16, he says, in that day, when I'm going back to the Father, in that day, you shall ask me, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You shall ask me nothing. Don't ask me for anything. And so I'm not going to violate what Jesus said by asking Jesus to do this or that. Now, again, I have a relationship, and you do too. We have such a personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, Jesus, help me. You know, you're not going to bust hell wide open for saying, Jesus, help me. Okay? Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord. But when I'm making a petition before God and I'm praying based on the word of God, I'm always going to pray to the Father. I'm always going to pray to the Father. I'm always going to do it in Jesus' name because that's how he told me to do it. That's what he said to. Verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy might be full. So do it that way and you're going to have tremendous joy. All right. Now, look with me. Go back to Acts. Acts chapter 9. Acts 9 verse 32. Why don't you see this? Acts 9, verse 32. Peter again uses words to bring healing into man's life. Scripture said, it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, and when he had kept his bed 8 years, he was sick of the palsy. I like that play on words. I'd be sick of it too if you had it 8 years, wouldn't you? He had it, plus he's probably sick of having it. Verse 34, and Peter said, S-A-I-D, Peter says something unto him, and is Jesus Christ makes you whole. No, notice he don't pray. He don't ask God to make him whole. Remember, such as I have, give I unto thee. He knows what he's got. He's received something from the Father. He knows what God does in him. He knows the power that works in him. And so he just simply says, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Rise, make your bed. And he rose immediately. He gets up immediately. Just as a spoken word. So why don't you speak to yourself? Or somebody else for that matter. Why don't you say things to yourself? If you have an issue going on physically in your body, why don't you say something to your body? Why don't you speak to yourself? Knees, be healed in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name. Why don't you say that to you? Why don't you speak to yourself? And says, oh, God. Oh, Lord, now my knees done crapped up on me. Now I got to have my knees replaced. And I'll just, well, thank God the doctors can do some wonderful things to help you along those lines. I'm happy about that. But I also know that you can say to the knees, you're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed. I've been on a treadmill before, walking away, and all of a sudden get a pain in my knee. Oh, God, there it is. Oh, Lord, I can't exercise more. No, that's not what I did. Get out. Out. Get out. Get out of there. Quit that. Stop it. That's what I do. Stop it. Quit that. Stop it. No. Not having this. No. 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 Just for that, instead of walking 30 minutes, I'm walking 45. You do it anymore, we'll make it an hour. And seeing relief. Incredible. Sometimes instantaneously. Most of the time. But other times, a few minutes or so. But you just don't. You speak to yourself. Speak to your life. So speak to what's going on in your life. That's what Peter says. Ananias, Jesus makes you whole. Why can't you say, like me? Why can't you say like you? Leon, Jesus makes you whole. What are you doing this for? I've been praying and before in my experience of praying over the many years. And there's been a few times, not a lot, but there's been a few times when I've, you know, prayed. And I'll pray in my study, and I lay down, I stand up. I walk most of the time. But I'll walk, stand up, lay down, sit down, do all this. You know, I'm just praying away. And there's been a few times when I got on the floor, did like this, giving the end of the Lord, and tears flowing. Oh, God. You ever done that? I've done it a few times. I ain't real proud of it, but I've done it a few times. And while I'm doing that, praying like that, oh, God, is that terrible? What's going on? You know what? The Lord just touched my heart. Spoke, Leon, get up. Get up off this floor and quit that whining and crying. And I have. It's been a few times. And I've told you my miraculous testimony. If you don't have it, I think it's in the thing. When God spoke to me, somebody called me on the phone. Told me to get up. They did. Call me on a phone. The three books I looked at in succession, the exact same page, three times every one of them I went to, exactly said what I was doing was wrong and told me to quit doing it. It's the most amazing thing. It is an amazing thing when you live with God and live in his presence and walk with him and love him. Begin to use your words. Begin to say things. Speak things. Peter says, I went to Cornelius' house and I was preaching down there. And he said an angel told him that I'd come down there and tell them things to do. He said, Acts chapter 10, verse 6. You're going to use words, and the Gentiles are going to come into salvation and in the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in their life, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All that through words as you're speaking, you're saying stuff. You can look again. Paul said it like this. He, in Romans 10, verse 8, he said, the word is close to you, even in your mouth. How close is the word to your mouth? Well, it got this far, but I stopped it, Pastor. No, let it go all the way up. Let the word of God go all the way up and out of your mouth. Almost said something that I didn't have. Oh, Lord, I'll say it when I got it. There's a world of people, well, no, I say it before I get it. Somebody say, I got it. I got it. It's mine. I have it now. I got it. It's mine, and I have it now. Amen. It's mine. I'm his. I'm happy. Amen. And so Paul says, there is a word of faith which we preach. That's what comes out of our mouth, a word of faith, a word of faith. I'm speaking it. I'm saying it. You don't even get married without saying I do. And people come to God, well, I ain't going to say nothing until I get it. What if I said that? What if the pastor asked me some 50 years ago this October? What if the pastor asked us in the church, said, Leon, do you take Sheila B. your wife? I don't know, not yet, not till you say I'm married. I'm not saying nothing until you pronounce us be man and wife. The pastor would look at me and say, well, I'm not pronouncing you man and wife until you say you do. Well, I'm not saying I do till you pronounce me man and wife. Wouldn't that have been foolish? That would have been stupid. He never would have got that $10 for marrying us. I mean, you know, if he'd done that. 50 years ago, okay. No, say it. Speak it. Say it. Somebody say, say it. Speak it. Say it. It's a word of faith which we preach. Paul said it like this in Acts 14, verse 7. He said they preached the gospel in Lystra and Derbe. They were preaching the gospel. There's another crippled man there. And the same, verse 9, heard Paul speak. Heard it. Who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that faith be healed. Then Paul said with a loud voice. I like talking to the devil that way. Devil! Get his attention. Come out in Jesus' name. I wouldn't say that. You might make him mad. He's already mad. He got mad when you opened your eyes this morning. The devil been after me this morning. I'm going to give you a short, brief testimony. We get up this morning at 7:30. My clock goes off. Beep. On Sunday morning, that's what time it goes off. And it went off at 7:30. Beep. I look over at the clock. Right there, it went beep. It went ugh. The whole power in the whole house goes off. I said, oh, no, here I am. I got to shave. I got to brush my teeth. I got to, you know, wash my hair. I got to do all this. And Sheila got to do the same stuff. Oh, my. So I get up and I'm clicking on the phone, calling up. And Lawrence Electrical Cooperative. Boy, they good, too. I call them up and they take a recorded message. They won't even talk to you. So I left some words for them on the recorded message. They'll come out here and turn my power back on. And they said, you're part of a known outage. And the last time I was part of a known outage, it was 2 days before they known that it might come back on. But anyway, I said, okay, they'll take care of it. They're always very good about it. They'll be out here. So it's 7:45. Well, maybe I can brush my teeth. So I go out to the shop, and I got some water we got stored out there. We're on the end of a line electrically. So I go get some water and pour it on this cup, and I brush my teeth. Well, I got my teeth. Well, my hair, you know. Well, and I got to do this. Got to do this. I'll lay out my clothes first. I go get my clothes, make sure they're all laid out. I'll do that. Ain't no power or nothing else. And finally, it's getting close. I got to be at church at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. I got to be here. And so it's getting close to me having to leave at about 9 o'clock, 9:15 when I leave. And I got to get out. And I say, well, I'm going to have to go take a shower. And so I look out that back door, and I see that pool that we just opened about 2 weeks ago, ice cold. I miss clear, beautiful, clean water that's freezing. I believe there's icebergs floating around in our pool. And I said, Sheila, I'm going to go take a bath in the pool. It wasn't skinny dipping, y'all, okay? But anyway, I put on some shorts first. So, you know, short like swimming. So I go out there, and right before I step in, I go out there, my shampoo and my conditioner and some soap, and I'm sitting at the steps looking at the house, and did that light come on yet? And it hadn't come on yet, and I got to do it. And I put a foot in, whoo, it was cold when I put a toe in it. And finally I get about waist it, wow, and I start throwing water from it, and I'm going to go down, you know, and I go down one time, just freeze myself, cover myself completely up, you know, got some shampoo in my head after the pool, taking a shower, and bam, the light comes back on inside. And I don't know who it was said it. It could have been the devil said, if you waited 10 more minutes, you know, or 1 more minute, you wouldn't have to do this. You froze yourself to death, and I got you this time. Well, he might have got me that time, but I'm going to get him this time. I'll get him the next time. Amen? Amen. Not going to let the devil win.
Not going to let him win. You say, all that stuff's going to happen. Well, it does. It happens like that, but we'll make our way through whatever it is. But the thing about it is this, I had a loud voice. When I went out pool, whoo, this stuff is cold. When I went out, a loud voice. Well, you want to have a loud voice when you talk about, devil, get out in Jesus' name. Get out. Begin talking, speaking, saying something. Let me get right here. I'm going to shut it down. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, you will love it. Here we are. Close it right here. Verse 2. In many things we offend all. Somebody told me one time, I said, what did I do to offend you? And they said, you didn't have to do nothing. You are an offense. But anyway, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. And he's able also to bridle the whole body. How many knows what a bridle is? That's that thing that you put in a horse's mouth or around his mouth. And sometimes that bridle will have a bit in the middle. Sometimes it will be like a straight bar. Sometimes be broken in the middle. It'll really turn that horse. And if you got a well-trained horse, you don't need anything in his mouth at all. You can just sort of lean the reins on one side, lean the reins on the other, and he just goes that way. But it all comes down to what's in his mouth or what's happening that's going to cause that horse to go left or go right. And James is talking about that. Remember, James is the Lord's half-brother. Okay? Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouths. Why you do that, James? That they may obey us. You want to know how your hands and your feet and your thinking and your body and your life is going to obey you? You're going to have to do something with your mouth. That's where the control is. The control center is in your mouth. I started to tell you to turn the person beside me and say, the control center is in my mouth. But they already know it. They already know it. The control center is in our mouth. Notice it. There, he said, when we put a bit in a horse's mouth, that allows us to turn the whole body. You can change your whole life just by what you start saying. Or what you stop saying. You can change your whole life. Most people live their whole life and never realize this. It's the truth. Most people live their whole life and they don't even realize this. And if they do, they never practice it. Because they keep on talking and keep on saying the same old junk they've been talking and saying. Keep getting the same old stuff they always been getting. And blaming God. I guess God don't love me. No, God told you to straighten up your mouth. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's the bit of your life. Notice it. Behold ships. In other words, think about ships. Behold, look at ships, which they be so great. I looked at a ship the other day, a big cruise ship. I think it was 8-10 stories tall. Somebody had been wanting us to go on a cruise. We don't. They're fine, but we don't care. We cruise anywhere. We'll go to Watts Mill. But they're like 8 stories tall. That's a big ship. But the rudder is even smaller than all of that big ship. Notice this. Behold the ships, which they are so great, and they're driven of fierce winds, if you have sails on it, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Now what's that helm? We steer. There's some steering goes on. What happens with the steering? It goes back to the rudder in the bottom of the ship, that one way or the other. It's going to propel that ship to turn left, turn right, go this direction, go that. It's going to tell it to do all that. But it's driven by this helm, a very small helm. If you look at the size of that helm, where they got that little thing that, they spin and got them things on it the old time way. Probably all computerized now, but they got that on it for looks, I guess. And so for the helm, whithersoever the governor lists it to go, wherever he tells it to go, even so the tongue. Everybody say, even so. The tongue. The tongue is the rudder of your life. It's the helm of your life. It's the bit in the horse's mouth. And if you'll learn to control your tongue and discipline your tongue as to what it should say and not say, it will turn your life whichever way that your tongue wants it to go. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that indulge it, they're going to eat the fruit of it. One translation says, they that allow it to say what it wants to will have or reap the consequences of it. The consequence of what you speak and what you say. And as you begin to speak things and say things, you'll begin to go in that direction of life.
I mean, it begins to take place. It begins to happen in your life. If you've been talking doubt, fear, and unbelief, and failure, and disappointment your whole life long, you're probably not just going to say one positive word in your life and see your life turn at that point. You got a stiff headwind, so to speak, you coming against that your whole life has been propelling yourself in. But now, as you begin to do that, though, like planting that little seed that takes over and become bigger than any other tree in the garden or whatever plant might be, just the same way you begin to speak this word here and a word there, your words begin to change. And as your words begin to change, the negative, the sinful, the evil, the wicked begins to drop off from you. And then the righteous and the good and the positive begin to fill you, and you begin to go in that direction. You can turn your boat around. You can turn your ship around. Somebody say amen. Amen. Stand up with me this morning and let's go before the Lord in prayer. We'll have to continue this another time. But I hope that you're thinking about what you are saying, what you are saying, what you're speaking. Lift your hands toward heaven. Let's pray this prayer together. Everybody say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word, the word of Almighty God. I give you praise. I give you glory. Now, Lord, I recognize my words need to imitate your words. I need to replace my words with your words. Therefore, I choose, I decide to speak your words from this day forward. And always, I will speak what you have said for me to speak. And in the name of Jesus, and by his power, my words shall come to pass by your power, Almighty God. And I thank you. There is nothing this world or the devil himself can do against me that your word will not conquer and give me the victory. It is in the name of Jesus that my words are now your words in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.